And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we have Colleen Cavanaugh. She is Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer for Independence Blue Cross. And today, we're going to be talking about good old Pennsylvania and health insurance. Good morning.
Good morning, Laura. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am doing great. And we are talking today because we have an important date coming up, January the 15th, for those of us in Pennsylvania. And would you like to really quickly explain what's the importance of that?
So if you buy your insurance directly, so you don't get it through your employer, you don't get it through Medicare, Medicaid, if you actually purchase insurance on your own in order to have health insurance coverage, January 15th is the last day to enroll in coverage to ensure that you are covered throughout 2024.
The enrollment period has various dates, and we just went past one of them, and that was for coverage beginning on January 1st. If we are signing up now between today and the 15th, when would our coverage begin?
Coverage would begin on February the 1st for anybody that enrolls now through January 15th. And it's important if you need coverage that you do enroll by that January 15th deadline, because if you miss that deadline, you will have to wait till next year's open enrollment unless you have what they call a life event. A life event would be getting married, getting divorced, death of a spouse, or having a baby. So it's those big kind of momentous things in life, why they call them life events, I guess. So unless you have one of those, you really have to enroll during the open enrollment period, which, as you said, ends on January the 15th.
Okay, here comes that dumb question that, as you explain it, we're all going to go, uh-oh. When we talk about health insurance, what are we actually talking about?
Health insurance is really there to protect you from the cost of healthcare if you have an illness or if you have an accident, right? So how are you making sure that you are not stuck with an enormous bill if you are, you know, suddenly diagnosed with a medical condition, or if you are, you know, sliding into third base and you break an ankle, a knee, or, you know, something goes wrong, right? Health insurance will protect you and make sure that you're covered for any of those medical expenses that you may incur.
And then conversely, what happens if you don't have health insurance?
So if you do not have health insurance, you know, that's the scenario where you may be faced with, you know, really large bills that you cannot afford. Or, you know, some people, if they don't have health insurance, maybe they think something might be going on. They don't get it checked out. And unfortunately, they wait too long. And that can turn into a much more serious and significant health issue for somebody. So it's important to have coverage so that you can make sure you are protected for those unexpected illnesses, accidents, as well as health insurance provides coverage for preventive care, right? So those mammograms, colonoscopies, your physical exams, and those preventive services that I just mentioned are actually covered 100% when you have health insurance. That's required by law that that the health insurance policies that are offered through the Affordable Care Act provide 100% coverage for preventive care.
Health care debt, that stays with you too, doesn't it? If you don't have insurance.
That is something that we see across the country that people grapple with is having to pay off those large bills, you know, if they have an unexpected illness or injury. And that is a debt that you will have to pay off, you know, that you get the collections calls, things like that. You know, you've heard those. There are many articles that have been written where you hear those kind of nightmare stories from people that didn't have the coverage that they needed when they needed it the most.
Well, let's get started. I'm hearing this and I realize I don't have insurance, or I'm not 100% sure that I have adequate insurance, which is another big problem for a lot of people don't realize that they don't have enough coverage. And I've got that date that is looming over me. Do you want to walk us through how do we start the process?
Sure. The best thing really is to understand, you know, what are your needs and what's most important to you? So, you know, do you have any specific health needs or concerns? Do you have a chronic condition like diabetes or asthma, you know, something that may require, you know, ongoing medical attention? It's important to understand those needs and the types of services you're going to need in the given year. It's important to know what your budget is, because with health insurance, there are really two components to the cost of health insurance. One, it's your monthly premiums. How much are you going to pay each month for the policy that you've purchased? And then the second part of that is how much are you going to pay each time you need care? So We like to say we want to make sure that people purchase a policy that they can actually afford to use. And what that means is not, when you're looking at the cost of the plan on a monthly basis, sometimes people pick that lowest cost plan, but then they do have these health, ongoing health needs, and they're going to be utilizing that plan a lot. And the cost sharing that they have to pay each time they use care is maybe not affordable for them. They pick that low cost plan that has a very high deductible. It's kind of that trade-off. I'm going to pay a low monthly price, but then when I need care, I may have a deductible of $5,000. So we like to say, look at both of those factors. What is it going to cost you to buy the plan? And then when you actually use it, what is the cost sharing that is associated with that? Is there deductible? Is there coinsurance, usually a deductible plan, which a deductible is the amount you have to pay up front before your health insurance kicks in. And then once your health insurance kicks in, there still is some cost sharing associated with that. With a deductible plan, oftentimes that's coinsurance, which is a percentage of the overall cost. So maybe you pay 20% of the cost, and then the health insurer pays the other 80% after you meet your deductible. Or the other piece of cost sharing that's in there is called co-pays. With co-pays, it's more predictable. Typically, a co-pay plan does not have a deductible associated, so you get first dollar coverage right away, and you're really just paying a set dollar amount for the services that you receive. So it would be a certain co-pay when you go to the doctor, a certain co-pay when you go to a specialist, certain co-pay when you go to the emergency room or if you're hospitalized. So you need to really look at what's your budget for healthcare. The other thing that I would tell people to do is, do you have doctors that you use all the time? Like, you have your primary care physician that you've been seeing for, a number of years, or for a period of time that you really like and really think knows you and understands, your healthcare needs and understands kind of you as a person. You want to keep that doctor, right? Or are there certain hospitals that you're used to going to, or that you want to make sure that you have access to, right? God forbid something goes wrong. Do you want to make sure that you have access to CHOP, to Penn, to Jefferson, to Mainline Health, those big health systems that are here, or those community hospitals that might be close to where you live? Network is very important when you're selecting a plan, so you need to make sure that those doctors and hospitals are in the plan you're looking for.
So before we even sit down or pick up the phone, we've got homework that we need to do, and I'm go so we're going to be looking at our own healthcare history, any chronic disease, et cetera. Think about our age, factor that in. But we also have to consider who else is going to be insured at this time, because we haven't even started talking about somebody who's starting this process is probably also going to be including family members in the process as well. So we also have to look at our income. What do we need when we actually begin the process, when we pick up the phone or we go online? Is there anything we need to have spread out in front of us?
So that's a really great question, because with the Affordable Care Act, there are subsidies available to help people cover the cost, some of the cost of the monthly premiums. And in some instances, depending upon your income and the size of your family, you actually could also get subsidies, or what we like to call tax credits, to help lower those out-of-pocket costs that we were talking about when you need care. So both of those components we were talking about, the monthly premiums and the cost when you use your plan. So it's important that you do pull together your income information and you understand the income of your household. So if you are applying for coverage for yourself, for a spouse and kids, you're going to enter in that family income for yourself and your spouse or your partner. And you're also, your children would also need to be accounted for in the family size of the policy. And then from there, they'll determine if you're eligible for a subsidy and where you really need to go in Pennsylvania in order to find out if you are eligible for a subsidy is penny.com. And that is PENNIE.com. And through Penny is where you would apply for that subsidy. On our website, on Independence Blue Cross's website, which is IBX.com, we actually have a subsidy calculator. So if before you go to Penny, you want to just get an idea of what you may be able to get, As far as the subsidy or tax credits are concerned, you can go to our website, ibx.com, and just use that calculator to get it. Just get an initial idea, maybe look at some plans so that when you go to Penny, if you turn out to be eligible for a subsidy, when you go to Penny, you can find out, really what you can afford and what's going to be out there.
And of course, we are talking about Pennsylvania today. But if you happen to be listening and you are across the border in New Jersey, they have a website, a different date too for their deadline. But go to getcoverednj.com and in Delaware, healthcare.gov. And we'll repeat that at the end. But okay, so Penny, we're starting out at Penny and we're sitting there. But now Penny asks you questions such as, do you have coverage or are you offered coverage from your company? You need to have that information as well, don't you?
It would be, those are hopefully easy questions for folks to answer to understand what their current coverage is. When they're looking at income, they may ask you some other things, other than what you're paid by your employer. Do you have other sources of income? The one that's popping to mind for me, I don't know why, is alimony. That may be a source of income for some folks. They may be getting income from rental properties, or there are many other ways that people can get income. So it should be all of your reported income. What you're putting into a tax return is really what you should be sharing with Penny. So you should have all of that information available. You should know what your Social Security number is. You're going to need to enter in your Social Security number. You should also have an email address available. If you have a cell phone number, that they may ask for those types of questions as well.
And again, when we go to IBX.com, you have a lot of information to help somebody get through this process easily.
Yes, we do. We can share tips, that help people understand what do they need to the information that they need to have available, some of the income information that you need to know. You can get an idea of the plans and benefits and rates that are associated with each of the plans. If you are not eligible for a subsidy or a tax credit, you could actually apply directly with Independence Blue Cross at our website, ibx.com. I'm just suggesting Penny, if you're subsidy eligible, Penny really is where you need to apply if you are a subsidy eligible individual.
So now, real quickly, we got to touch upon the types of insurance because there is company provided, your employer has it, a private policy, an individual policy. We've gone to IBX.com, we've signed ourselves up, but then there's also Medicare and Medicaid, and we have to consider those right now too. So I'm throwing that on the table. Jump on it.
Yes. So just to be clear, the deadline that we're talking about, that January 15th deadline that we've talked about a few times already, that is really for the individual policies that are under the Affordable Care Act. So if you are getting your benefits through an employer, you don't need to worry about that deadline. You should listen to what your employer is telling you about when your open enrollment is, when you need to get in, any of your enrollment information for that employer-based plan. And really, employer-based coverage can happen anytime during the year. Each individual sets really their open enrollment period and when their policies renew, working with their insurance carrier. If we're talking about Medicare and Medicaid is really year-round enrollment, and Medicaid is really a partnership between the federal government and state government to offer coverage for our most at-risk folks that are really low income. From a federal poverty level. And that's really based on income and also sometimes based on conditions as to whether you would be eligible for a Medicaid policy. With those benefits, you can enroll year round, but it is based on, strict criteria as far as income is concerned, or health conditions. I think what's important to mention about Medicaid is that during the pandemic, people were kept on Medicaid coverage even if they were no longer eligible. So in a normal year, everybody's policy is redetermined on an annual basis to make sure they still meet those strict eligibility guidelines. And if they don't meet the eligibility guidelines, they are notified, they're asked to provide additional documentation. But if ultimately they are deemed to no longer be eligible, then their coverage with Medicaid would end and people would need to shop for other insurance, either through the ACA marketplace like we're talking about today, or sometimes they're eligible for employer coverage, or Medicare. We've talked about, some of those different options. But during the pandemic, one of the safeguards that the federal government put in place to ensure that people had health insurance coverage was to say that people could not be disenrolled from Medicaid. So This year, earlier this year in the spring, they actually started that disenrollment process. They allowed for redetermination to happen again. So as of last spring, redetermination started, and that will actually go for a full year with people each month being identified who needs to be redetermined, and they will focus on whether that person still makes eligibility requirements or not. And if they don't, they will be disenrolled in coverage. And that, Lisa, becomes, if somebody loses that coverage, that becomes a special enrollment period. That is another reason why somebody would be eligible for a special enrollment, is because you lose coverage, whether that's through the employer or, like we're talking about now, a Medicaid policy. So that's kind of a unique thing that's very just new and different for 2023 as we roll into 2024 on that Medicaid side of the world. And that last piece was Medicare. And Medicare actually is another federal program. And that really, most people think of Medicare as for people who are 65 and older. But Medicare is also available to people who have certain conditions, like end-stage renal disease is one that comes to mind. Like if you have a very significant health concern, that might be something that also allows you to be qualified for Medicare coverage. And the Medicare open enrollment, or AEP, they call it the annual enrollment period. It's a little bit different than open enrollment period that we use for ACA coverage. The Medicare enrollment period, that actually just ended for January 1st coverage, but there is a lock-in period where people can, still look and make some changes if they need to.
So really, you should know your situation. If you
Yeah.
haven't used your Medicaid, you might be disenrolled at this point. Your Medicare coverage might not be sufficient, and you need additional coverage plans. All of this stuff, it's a time to take a minute and look and see where you actually stand.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And if you're in that Medicaid situation, you would have gotten a lot of notifications from the Department of Health to let you know what is going on, what's happening with your policy. Also from whoever your health insurance carrier is notifying you of this. So please read your mail, pay attention to the notices that you're receiving to make sure you're not caught in a situation where maybe your policy is terminated and you're not aware. There are some safeguards that have been put in place for the Medicaid population if they lose coverage, where they actually can get a retro enrollment. If sometimes people go for care for the first time, and then that's when they realize that they don't have coverage. So there are some protections that are in there. If they actually then provide the information and they show that they are still eligible for Medicaid, they can get reinstated. If they truly are not eligible, they do have that safeguard where they can enroll in an ACA policy to ensure they have coverage, and it allows for a little bit of retroactivity to make sure that's there. Because as I said, this is a very vulnerable population that we want to make sure, has the coverage that they need.
We were just talking about the types of plans and who qualifies for each one of them. How do I decide what I need? And is there a bare minimum that they're all going to cover and I just need to add on to that? I mean, how do I decide what plan is best for me?
So I think the important thing with the ACA plans, the Affordable Care Act plans, is that they provide essential benefits. So that means every single policy that's available to you under the Affordable Care Act is going to provide coverage for your doctor visits, hospitalization, lab work or blood work, x-rays. It's going to provide coverage for prescription drugs. All of the main things that you're going to need in a health insurance policy are going to be required to be provided under an Affordable Care Act plan. You also have the opportunity to buy additional coverage. So if you wanted to add dental coverage or vision coverage, that would be available for you to purchase as well to ensure that you have what you need for all of your healthcare needs.
Then they throw terms at you like HMO, PPO, EP, ABC. What? Guide me through. Let's just pretend that I am dumb.
Yes, what's with all that alphabet soup, right?
Yes.
So it is confusing, potentially for those that are not, not used to having health insurance. So HMO, PPO, EPO, they are all different types of benefit plans, but there are some very unique differences with each one of the plans that may be, those differences may be an important factor for you when you are making your buying decision. So if we start with a PPO plan, which is a preferred provider organization, that's what PPO stands for. With a PPO plan, plan, you get in and out of network coverage. And what that means is every health insurance carrier offers a network with their plan. And that network of providers is who they're calling it network. That's who they have contracted with in order to provide coverage for the members of their plan. So a PPO, you can go to those contracted providers, or you could choose to go to an out-of-network provider that your insurance company does not have a contract with. In the case of going out of network, it's important to know that you will pay higher costs. There will be a deductible associated with that as well as coinsurance. So the out-of-pocket costs would be significantly higher if you go out of network. But you have that ability if you need to with a PPO plan. If you have a PPO plan, there is no need to get a referral, no need to pick a primary care physician. You know, you can make your choice as to which doctors and hospitals that you will see, ideally in network to save you some money, but also network as we just out of network, as we discussed. If we go to the next plan I would go to is an HMO plan, which is called a health maintenance organization. That's what HMO stands for. With HMO, what you're really getting there, typically HMO plans are lower cost. So you're getting a lower priced plan, but with an HMO plan, there are some different things that you need to do. You need to select a primary care physician, and you also would need to get a referral from that primary care physician in order to see specialists. So there's a little more oversight with a primary care physician, which some people find that very helpful, right? Like they have that family doctor that they count on. So for them, they get the lower price premiums. They're comfortable with the doctor that they're using as a primary care physician to help them kind of navigate the healthcare space. But those are things that you need to know and be aware of. What sits kind of in the middle of a PPO and an HMO is what we call an EPO plan, which is an exclusive provider organization. And an EPO, as I said, sitting in the middle of that, it offers the freedom of a PPO and that you can see any in-network doctor directly, whether, you know, you don't have to have that PCP, and you also don't need to have a referral. So you can make those choices in-network. But on an EPO, you do not have an out-of-network benefit. So PPO is kind of the richest benefit structure, meaning that you have in-network and out-of-network, no referral, no PCP. EPO is right beneath that, in that you can have in-network access without referrals or selection of a primary care physician, but no out-of-network. And then for that HMO, that is in-network, and you're really working through a PCP who's going to refer you to specialists for care. The one thing I should also note, Laura, is that anybody in an emergency situation, you really should be going to obviously the closest hospital and the nearest hospital. And there, that could be in network or out of network. Any emergency care is really covered at the in network level, whether you have a PPO, an EPO, or an HMO.
Now, what if I make the decision January 15th comes and goes, and this coming summer, I think, yeah, my doctor, I have a preference, or my doctor that I've been going to is now maybe shut a practice. I want to change. Can you make changes during the year?
So unless you have a life event, so we talked a little bit about those life events. So unless you have a life event, the policy that you pick is really for that year. Right. So open the policy years for an ACA plan is January 1st until December 31st. If you enroll in a plan because you have a life event, say in July, that July plan will go to the end of the year till December 31st. That's the real end of the policy for any ACA plan is going to be December 31st. And that open enrollment is going to start November 1st for you to pick plans for the following year. So if you are enrolled in a plan and find that you want to make a change, open enrollment is the time to make that change. Now, in the instance that you mentioned of, hey, my doctor is no longer part of this plan, that is not a life event, but you would have the opportunity to pick a different doctor, right? And Independence Blue Cross does have the strongest network of doctors and hospitals here in the Philadelphia 5-county area. So, you know, our belief is that you would be able to find another doctor that you would be comfortable with in that broad network of doctors that we have in our network.
So it's important. Do it right when you sit down or when you pick up the phone. You do it right by January 15th. Okay, we are actually starting to run out of time. So now I'm thinking, I'm seeing words like tiered networks, the gold, the silver, and we haven't even talked about, do I need and want dental and vision?
Yes. So I'll take the first part of your question there. So the metallic tiers piece. So as part of the Affordable Care Act, one of the things that was required is that health insurers put their plans in what they call metallic tiers. So the tiers that are available are platinum, gold, silver, and bronze. And what this is meant to do is to be helpful for the consumer, because based on the metallic tier, that is actually signaling what percentage of the insurance is going to be covered by the carrier and what percentage of the out-of-pocket cost is going to be covered by the actual member. So when you're looking at a platinum plan, 90% of the out-of-pocket or of the cost for a healthcare service is going to be covered by the insurer, and 10% would be covered by the member for the consumer. If you look at a gold plan, it's going to be 80% covered by the health insurance and carrier, 20% by the member or the consumer. And then if you just step down, silver is going to be 70%, 30% on the consumer, and then bronze, just to finish it out, 60% by the health insurance carrier and 40% by the member or the consumer. So what you're really looking at here is your platinum plans are typically your most expensive plans because you're going to pay more on a monthly basis. Because when you get those services, that's where you're going to have the lowest cost each time you need care. On that bronze plan, that's where you're going to, that's the lower metallic tier. That's going to be the lowest cost plans, but that's where you're probably going to see those large deductibles that we talked about earlier. So you need to understand your health insurance needs and how often you're going to be utilizing healthcare to say, what's the right mix for me? I should say too, because we talked earlier about subsidies and tax credits and how that kind of comes in two different forms. One, there are premium subsidies to help lower your monthly costs. Those premium subsidies are available on every metallic tier. So say you, and this is just an example, qualify for a $100 tax credit towards your monthly premiums. You could choose to pick and apply that $100 to any plan in a platinum, gold, silver, or bronze metallic tier. However, the second part of this was that you also, depending upon your income and the number of people in your family, you could be eligible for an additional tax credit that helps to lower your costs when you receive care. And in that case, those plans that offer those cost sharing reductions is what they call them, that is only available on the silver tier. So you would need to pick a benefit plan on the silver tier if you're eligible to maximize the tax credits that you're getting.
Really quickly, tiered networks.
So tiered networks, Independence Blue Cross offers what we call our proactive plans, our Keystone HMO proactive plans. And what we found is that those tiered benefit plans, the proactive plan designs, give you cost sharing levels on the lowest tier that make you feel like you have platinum benefits, but you're paying a silver level cost in some cases, is one of our plans. So essentially, what happens in a tiered network plan is you have access to the entire Independence Blue Cross network. So we were talking earlier about in-network benefits. You'll have access to that entire network, but that network is going to be broken down into tiers, where tier one is what's going to be your lowest cost sharing for providers in that tier. Tier three is going to be your highest cost providers and how you'll pay more out of pocket to see those providers. And then you have a tier two, which is kind of the middle of the road cost sharing, right? So when you're looking at a tiered network plan, that may be something that has a lower out of pocket or lower monthly premium cost for you, but you want to really look at the tiers to understand, again, back to some of the conversation we're having earlier around your doctors, are your doctors in tier one? If your doctors are in tier one, it may make sense for you because you'll have low cost sharing to go to those doctors, and you'll have the benefit of that lower premium of being on the silver tier. So, it is complicated. As we talked earlier, there are people that can help you. You can go online and get information, but there are also people that can help you with making these decisions. Independence Blue Cross does have licensed agents that are available to help consumers understand all of these trade-offs, understand if they're eligible for tax credits or subsidies that we talked about. We have agents that are available at 1-888-475-6206. Again, that's 1-888-475-6206 that can really talk through all of this with consumers. I should also note, in addition, there are brokers that are out there that really can talk to consumers about plans, as well as navigators that are available to help people navigate those healthcare choices. So there are a number of options that are available to consumers to walk them through this process and make sure they get the plan that really fits their needs and their budget.
Well, we are officially out of time. And so, a very quick parting word. What's the takeaway?
I would say don't wait. If you need health insurance, it's important that you shop. Make sure that you get your coverage before the January 15th deadline to make sure that any health insurance needs that you have are covered in 2024 and get that peace of mind. Start the year off right.
An easy way to get started, IBS. RX.com. They have tips, they have guides, they have calculators that will help guide you through this process. You can also reach out and speak to them at 888-475-6206. Here in Pennsylvania, the Open Exchange, you find it online at penny.com, P-E-N-N-I-E, penny.com. In New Jersey, getcoverednj.com. And in Delaware, healthcare.gov. Colleen, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed the experience. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for doing this. Colleen Cavanaugh is the Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer for Independence Blue Cross. Again, you find them at ibx.com. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.